This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We're about to do Medal of Honor Thursday. That's coming this hour. We're going to talk about the release of the journalists from Russia. We're going to talk a bit about Dome, the J.D. Vance op a bunch of people have participated in, maybe even unknowingly, culture stuff, all that, so much more coming this hour. Coming up this hour, I've been gone for a week. Coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But first, you know what time it is. It's Medal of Honor Monday time, even though it's Thursday. And this is a cool one, a rare one, because it's from World War One, WW1. And man, alive. I'll read the Medal of Honor citation, then I'll read the plaque. But without further ado, here's the Medal of Honor citation for a Daniel Richmond Edwards, U.S. Army, World War One. This one actually came courtesy. Remember, you can send in requests for these if you have ones you like. This one came courtesy of social media, and I didn't write down the guy's name because I don't like to give other people credit for any of their work. So whoever you are, I stole your idea. I'm now going to broadcast it to millions of people nationwide, while giving you no credit whatsoever. Daniel Richmond Edwards.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
Reporting for duty from the hospital where he had been for several weeks under treatment for numerous and serious wounds, and although suffering intense pain from a shattered arm, he crawled alone into an enemy trench for the purpose of capturing or killing enemy soldiers known to be concealed therein. He killed four of the men and took the remaining four men prisoners while conducting them to the rear. One of the enemy was killed by a high explosive shell, which also completely shattered one of PFC Edwards' legs, causing him to be immediately evacuated to the hospital. The bravery of PFC Edwards, now a tradition in his battalion because of his previous gallant acts, again caused the morale of his comrades to be raised to a high pitch. Now that is the end of the citation. Now you know why we don't do very many that are pre-World War II. World War II was when they decided they needed to do these things at a little more depth. But here's a plaque for Mr. Daniel Richmond Edwards. During fierce fighting on July 18, 1918, at the Battle of Soissons, an exploding shell pinned PFC Edwards' right arm between rocks of a trench wall. To free himself, he severed his arm at the elbow, then killed four Germans and took four prisoners with only his .45 pistol. While escorting the prisoners back to American lines, Edwards forced one of them to carry his severed arm. Another explosion shattered his legs and killed one of the prisoners. He forced the surviving prisoners to carry him the rest of the way. Dang, sir. Mr. Daniel Richmond Edwards, not a man you trifle with, no matter how many limbs he's missing at the time. If that man is speaking back to you in a bar, you buy him a drink and say, sorry, I offended you, sir. All right? All right. Now I want to discuss this reporter exchange. It's really bad. Biden was up there talking about it today. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, that's a mouthful, especially for an idiot like me, Evan Gershkovich. He got set free, been a prisoner in Russia. A couple other reporters got set free from Russia. In exchange, the word is, Russia got 22 spies. Here was Joe Biden talking about it today.
I want to thank everyone in my administration who helped make this happen. Our work did not start just on day one. It started before day one. During the transition, I instructed our national security team to dig into all the cases of hostages being wrongfully detained, which were inherently, well, We inherited them from the prior administration. I wanted to make sure we hit the ground running.
That's a lie. Two of those three people were taken prisoner during Biden's presidency. Anyway.
And we did. As of today, my administration has brought home over 70 Americans who were wrongfully detained and held hostage abroad, many since before I took office. Additionally, I issued an executive order in 2022 authorizing penalties like sanctions and travel bans.
Yeah, whatever. Let's talk about what really happened. Because a lot of people are beginning to get the details of this deal, and they're starting to scream and yell and be very, very angry about it. How in the world could we give Russia so many of their spies back? What are we doing? So, look, this is what it is. It's an election year. And people, both parties, they will do things to try to fill in some of their blanks when we come up on an election. So, for instance, Trump, and I'm going to play a little audio from this, not much, but Trump, bravely, I might add, this takes some guts, I give him a lot of credit for this, goes and sits down with the Black Journalists Association and gets brutalized by some unfair questions. And people are asking, why is he doing that? Why do that? Why go sit down in that environment at all and get asked these nasty questions like this? Why would you sit down
for
this?
You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from.
Okay, I'm not going to play the whole thing. Why would he go do that? The Republican Party, rightly or wrongly, has a reputation of being anti-Black. I don't care. Do not email me and tell me we're not the real racists. Don't do that. In the Black community, the common theme is that Republicans are racists. You screaming at me or screaming at them that that's not true doesn't change the fact that that is the reputation. That is the reputation, fair or unfair. What's Trump doing by going and standing in front of a room of Black people and speak to hostile Black journalists? What's the point of that? He's trying to not win back all of the Black vote. Of course, he would like that. That's not going to happen. He's not an idiot. What's he trying to do? He's trying to ease the burden of that reputation, if I have to put it a better way. Try to put a balm on the burn of that reputation. So if you normally get 8% of the Black vote, that's about the percentage of the Black vote the Republicans get nationally. He doesn't expect to get 50%, but what if he got 10, 11, 12? We're talking about presidential elections, elections that are decided by 50,000 votes in any state, 80,000 votes in these important swing states. Another 2%, 3% can matter. So that's what Trump is doing. Back to what Biden is doing. Biden is doing something because Democrats have a problem, a huge, huge, huge problem. What is that problem? Patriotism. Remember how we talk about the tightrope Democrats walk? For those just now tuning in, I'll just give you a brief description on it. If you're a Democrat politician, you have a challenge. Your challenge is this. The base, your voting base, the people who will work on your campaign and crawl across broken glass to vote for you. They are America-hating communist savages. They are pieces of trash who want to burn America to the ground. And you need to speak to those people. But they're not the only voters you need. If you're an American Democrat, your dome, let's say, you also know there are a bunch of pro-America Democrats, older Democrats, especially older veteran Democrats, union-type Democrats. You need their vote as well. You need their support as well. And you can't come out as the America-hating savage your base wants. So Democrats are always trying to walk the tightrope of America sucks, but we could get better. This country's garbage, but not total garbage. We've done some good things, even though we still suck. It's a constant tightrope they walk. Joe Biden actually just did it recently. I don't have the soundbite, but because I didn't prepare for this, but he just did it recently with that statement he put out. He said this before, something along the lines of, America has the ideals of freedom, even though we've never fully lived up to them. That's the tightrope they walk. Oh, yeah. That way the patriotic Democrat hears that and thinks, yeah, I love America. And the America-hating savage, who's the Democrat base, hears that and he says, yeah, America sucks. You see, that's the tightrope they walk. But the truth is, the beating heart of America's Democrat Party in this day and age, it wasn't always this way, in this day and age, is anti-Americanism. It is not un-Americanism. Stop with that. That is way too soft on it. It is America sucks and deserves to get what's coming to it. That is the voting base of the Democrat Party in this country. And Democrats have to speak to that base at all times. Except we're coming up on an election. So we're going to talk about this prisoner release and the why in a moment. Before we do that, we're also coming up on some trouble with the dollar. In fact, we're already there. You don't need me to tell you that. You buy groceries. You know that. What do we do? What do we do? Well, I'll tell you one thing. One of my Marine Corps buddies I was with this weekend, he's one of these hardcore entrepreneur types. If you told me he was going to be a billionaire in 10 years, I would tell you, yeah, I could see that. He's just one of those guys. You know what he's buying right now? Land and real estate. Every bit of it he can. And he said, Jesse, why in the world would I not buy things the government can't completely abolish the value of? What am I supposed to buy? Stocks? Would you like to start buying some real estate? Ah, but I'm just a normal guy. Yeah, that's what Done For You Real Estate's for. Done For You Real Estate is for normal people. No, you're not going to buy a mansion to rent out. No, you're not going to start buying 10 properties, a portfolio. Done For You Real Estate will help you buy one. They'll get you into it. They'll get you the financing. They'll handle the rental process. One will turn into two if you stick with them. It'll turn into three. Might just find yourself with a little nest egg one of these days. But unless you go to doneforyoujesse.com, you never will. Doneforyoujesse.com. Just go see what they can do for you, all right? We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, back to this prisoner exchange. We got these three reporters. We, of course, gave Russia back a bunch of spies. Once again, a lopsided exchange. Democrats have a patriotism problem. They always have, because it's the anti-America party now. What they're trying to do is shave some of their voters back into their corner as we get closer and closer to what is going to be a tight election. They will do, leading up to this election, the same thing they did leading up to the midterms. They will use the power of government to gain them more votes and give them more power. Communists believe in using power to keep power and get more of it. Of course, live and let live Loserville on the right believes that that's terrible. And of course, that has resulted in us losing all power at all. What's an example of this? Leading up to the midterm elections, gas prices were high. Joe Biden was worried about losing the House and Senate and everything else. One of the reasons there wasn't a red wave was he tapped the country's strategic petroleum reserve, unleashed all that oil, lowered the gas prices temporarily to make sure Democrats didn't lose enough seats. Is that evil, treasonous, and wrong? Does he belong in prison for it? Of course he does, but that's exactly how they do things. Why in the world would you give Russia 20-some spies in exchange for three journalists? That's such a lopsided, ridiculous deal. It's insane. Why would you do that? Because Democrats need good press going into the election. Why in the world do you think he waited until August 1st, 2024 to pull this off? Because they're looking to buy more votes, and it looks patriotic. Democrats will do a couple things now leading up to this election that appear sane and patriotic, and they understand the flighty voter will fall for these things many, many, many times. It's just another example of them using their power to gain more power for themselves. Now I want to get to some emails here. Jesse, what is the deal with the media's attacks on J.D. Vance? They know no one trusts them. Are they trying to drive a wedge between him and Trump? Do norms buy this stuff? Or is it because he grew up poor in middle America and is now a huge success? By the way, welcome back. Okay, so I'm not going to cover all of it, but it's been happening for a week now. There's been an op against J.D. Vance. It's an op. Communists are running an op against him. They're running a PR campaign is probably an easier way to describe it, against J.D. Vance. Let me explain something, because this happens all the time, and you have to know that it happens, because then once you see it, you will recognize it immediately. This is actually not about J.D. Vance himself, which I will get to in a moment. This is about how these things work. There are PR companies out there. This will come back to politics. Just stay with me. There are PR, public relation companies out there. Extremely powerful public relation companies. But that's kind of a vague term, isn't it? Public relations. Kind of one of those things that can mean anything. What does that mean? Why are there PR companies out there? And more importantly, why are they in big, fancy buildings in New York City, LA, Chicago? Why do PR companies have retreats in some kind of fancy beach resort somewhere for weeks at a time? Why did their CEOs fly on private jets? How could there be so much money in something so benign sounding as public relations? Allow me to explain. Let's say I'm publishing another book. Do not get your hopes up. I'm not publishing another book. This is just an example. Let's say I'm going to publish another book, and I want to raise my profile before I publish this book, because if I'm trying to sell books like the first one that's available at jessekellybook.com, what, Chris? If I'm trying to sell books, it pays to have more people know who I am, correct? If a million people know who I am, I'll sell so many books. If 2 million people know who I am, I'll sell what? Twice as many books. So it pays to have my profile. It pays to have more people know who I am. Well, what's one way you can do this? I walk in the door of a PR company. We'll call this PR company Chris and Michael. All right, so it's obviously a very shady company with bad business practices. But I walk into Chris and Michael and I say, hey, I need to raise my profile. And they'll say, oh, outstanding, Jesse. We can certainly do that for you. That's going to be, but pick a number. We'll just make it easy. $100,000. Jesse, we need you to pull out your credit card. Well, that would probably be a check. We need you to pull out a check certified, if you wouldn't mind, and write us a $100,000 check. Okay, well, what do I get for that $100,000? For that $100,000, the PR firm of Chris and Michael, they will then embark on a positive PR campaign on my behalf. How does that look? Well, Chris, he knows a bunch of journalists at the Wall Street Journal and in the LA Times. Michael has a bunch of ins with people at Facebook and Twitter and online things and this company. And oh, by the way, did I mention Chris has good friends on The View. So he knows people on The View, and Michael, he really doesn't. This is all made up. Michael has good friends on the Jimmy Fallon show late at night. Soon, you wake up tomorrow morning and, oh, look at this puff piece on Jesse Kelly in the New York Post. Isn't that wonderful? Did you hear Jesse Kelly's going to be on Jimmy Fallon tonight? Oh my gosh, Jesse's on The View. Jesse Kelly. By the end of the week, I'm twice as popular as I was before. And now, for $100,000, I get to sell twice as many books. That's public relations, one example of it. How could I even have the energy to do a campaign like that? Well, it would take a lot of testosterone. And that's why even on my campaign where I'd go to The View or I'd go do any one of these interviews, I would make sure I was still taking my male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. Because without testosterone, gentlemen, you don't have energy. You don't have focus. Are you tired too much? Ladies, you too. Are you tired too much? I'm asking about, not at night, I'm asking about the afternoon. You exhausted a lot? Man, run down is probably a better way to describe it. Why don't you try some natural herbal supplements? You know, I spent the weekend with Seton over at Chalk too. Dude actually cares about you a lot. He lives and breathes this stuff. He showed up with it. We were hanging out by the pool. He showed up with his Chalk stuff for him. That's how much he believes in it. You know he's got some dimes standing by to take your call and help you, help guide you through things. Call them. 50-CHOCK, that's C-H-O-Q, 50-CHOCK-3000. 50-CHOCK-3000. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So we were talking about J.D. Vance, and I paused on that because it's going to come back to the Vance thing in case you're just joining us. And I was talking about PR campaigns. Why are there gigantic, wealthy PR firms? How could this be possible? What's it for? Well, I walk into one and I pay them a bunch of money. And they use all their different means and methods and sources, and they plant a bunch of Jesse Kelly's the best stories in all the media, social media, and soon I have a bigger brand, I'm more popular, I'm bigger than I was before. That's worth a fortune. That's how positive PR works. If you ever, well, you'll notice that from now on, now that I told you about it, if you don't already, but you probably already did, but from now on, you'll notice that when you see it. Have you ever noticed oftentimes celebrities, they will get themselves into situations where they do things really, really, really nice and there's somebody there to document it? Ever seen one of these stories? I'm going to use this as an example. Just set him aside. I'm not even saying this specifically, but you ever seen a story about The Rock? You know who The Rock is? That big movie star, used to be a wrestler. You ever hear a story about The Rock pulling over to help somebody who has a flat tire? I was sitting here and I got a flat tire and The Rock pulled over and he changed my tire for me. Look at that. My picture's on Instagram. And soon that story gets picked up by TMZ and it's in the LA Times. You know, most of that stuff is just a PR campaign, right? It's all a setup. That stuff, that's how the world really works. And it works that way negatively as well. Speaking of celebrities, we're going to take this back to politics, but recently, Justin Timberlake, I don't know if he still sings. I don't know anything about pop culture anymore, but Justin Timberlake, he was a big singer back in the day. Justin Timberlake got a DUI. Got a DUI, okay, it happens, not recommend it, but he gets DUI. It was, I think, 24 to 48 hours, and the cop who had given Justin Timberlake the DUI, there was a hit piece, a negative article written about that cop in, I believe it was the New York Post, if I remember right, in the New York Post. What? How does that happen? Well, lean in real quick. That's a PR campaign. That's a PR campaign. A firm was hired to destroy or attack the reputation of the cop. Someone called a guy who called a guy who called a guy. Soon you're reading stories about what a dirtball the cop is in the New York Post. That's a PR campaign. Now let's talk about J.D. Vance and politics. Trump picks J.D. Vance. You know my thoughts on the pick. J.D. Vance was by far my favorite of the VP options. So in that, it was a very smart move by Trump. J.D. Vance, he helps win Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Again, another smart move by Trump. I wished he hadn't picked J.D. Vance because I like J.D. Vance so much. We have so many losers in the Senate, and Trump is going to need a Senate if he's going to get anything done, so I would rather he have stayed there. But it's still a smart pick, right? That's just a coin flip. It's a smart pick. J.D. Vance is wonderful. He's great. Immediately after Trump picks J.D. Vance, you turn on the news and you're seeing all these J.D. Vance comments. Some are recent. Most of them are old. J.D. Vance sits down to do a podcast 10 years ago and he says something about childless cat ladies. J.D. Vance gives a speech when he's running for office the first time and says something off color about this or that. And all of a sudden, you turned on the news, you got on social media, you went anywhere you went. How many different places did you see? J.D. Vance said this, J.D. Vance said that, J.D. Vance, J.D. Vance, J.D. Vance hates women. And then that spiraled into what? What did that spiral into? The childless cat lady remarks. Oh my gosh, do we hate women? Does the Republican Party hate women? Does J.D. Vance hate women? Is it okay to be childless? You know that was an op, right? And let me explain something to you. And this might hurt if it applies to you. If it applies to you, you don't have to apologize to anybody. You don't even have to admit it to anybody, but you should take care to never do it again. If you found yourself over the last week or so posting anything negative about J.D. Vance, his childless cat lady remarks, or something like that, if you found yourself posting something about that online, you took part in the op. And they run the op because they know people like you will take part in it. Did you know that? You are a planned participant in the op. How does it look? Here's how it looks. You go grab something. You obviously, they had already been doing opposition research on all the potential VP candidates before Trump picked one. So they already had, we'll call it a file, because that sounds so official and movie-like, doesn't it? A file. They had a file on this. They had a file on Burgum. They had a file on Rubio. They had a file on Vance. So they had already done all the research in the world. They already had a file on J.D. Vance. They found clips that they thought they could use that would get picked up by the media, that would get printed in the newspaper, that would go viral online. They decided to clip those things, and they began to spread those things. So J.D. Vance makes a remark about childless cat ladies. Do they know that the New York Times is going to pick that up and run with it? Of course, they're under orders. You know, that's establishment media. Is NBC, CNN, LA Times, Washington Post, are they going to run articles talking about it? Of course, that's already a given. But set them aside. What do they also know? They also know that there are, maybe this applies to you. Maybe you're a single woman without children. And there's nothing wrong with that, I should point out. Everyone isn't made to get married. Everyone isn't made to have kids. But maybe you're a single woman without children and you feel occasionally judged for that. Have you ever felt judged for that? That's very common as well. You get people who don't live your life. You feel like they're looking down on you or speaking down to you. They understand there are single childless women out there who might be sensitive about that. So when you run these articles and play these news clips of J.D. Vance, what do they understand? They understand that if they clip it just right and they aim it at you, that it might hurt. It might hit you where it hurts. It might hurt your feelings. I understand you have feelings. I do not. That's fine. I'm a jerk, but I understand. Most people do. You have feelings. So what do? You get the clip. It hurts your feelings. Next thing you know, you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram. You know, I'm a Republican, and I believe in conservatism, but this is alienating to women, and I don't like them when they talk about women this way, and I can't. And soon your girlfriends are saying the same thing. Yeah, I'm a Republican, and I don't like it when Republicans talk like this. I might even vote for Harris. And the next one, and it snowballs from there. Yeah, I was just talking to my girlfriends, and we're mortified by J.D. Vance's comments. And soon, you're actually the most potent weapon the communists have for their op. It's not the Wall Street Journal. It's not the New York Times. It's you. It's the individual who gets hurt by the op, gets their feelings hurt by the op, and then uses the op to hurt the person they wanted hurt in the end. That's how it works. And the sad thing isn't that they run an op. Ops have been run for ages. The sad thing is how often the right will participate in a Democrat op. Democrats will never, under any circumstances, participate in a right-wing op. The right will gleefully participate in left-wing ops, and they do it all the time. You don't have to apologize if you've been caught up in these in the past. Just be very careful you don't participate in the next one. In fact, I'm going to just say one more word on this because this is going to apply to something else. We'll finish that and then we'll get to some other things. Before I do that, speaking of ops, you know, corporate America and their advertising, so much of that is an op as well. Meaning, how's that work? Well, if you're Verizon, you get some despicable commie campaign, like the Human Rights Campaign. Of course, they always name it that. It's a big demonic campaign. And they go into the boardroom of Verizon and they demand, hey, you'll spend $100,000 next year promoting LGBTQ demon mob stuff. And soon Verizon takes the money you pay them and they're blasting the American family all over television or billboards. That's participating in an op. If you actually have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you pay for a lot of this filth. I have Pure Talk. I participate. I take part in a company that cares about veterans in America. Switch to Pure Talk. You'll save money and feel good about paying your cell phone bill. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now. All 3 hours dedicated to you. Ask me anything. Get them into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One last word on the ops they run. There's a reason they get you to participate in them a lot. All of a sudden you're online posting with your girlfriends. I don't like JD Vance. I don't have kids. There's a reason they get you to do that. Because they understand how to target things that are important to you and they take advantage of it. Remember the Lauren Boebert controversy in the theater? Remember we talked about that? And I got a lot of pushback on that. So let me just recap it. Lauren Boebert, congresswoman from Colorado, really great person, really wonderful person, honestly, with an outstanding voting record. You can dislike her methods, but outstanding voting record, really solid human being. She gets a divorce. She's on a date with some guy in a theater. And they get a little handsy in the theater. And she ends up getting kicked out of the theater with her date. Now, you woke up one day, if you watched CNN or turned on up social media, and what did you see? You saw a black and white video of Boebert and her date. We'll call it rounding first base. Right? What, Chris? I don't know how to... what am I supposed to say? I don't know what to say. Anyway. And what happened from there was a bunch of people on the right, maybe you, were morally uncomfortable or outraged by that. And you expressed that online. Now, that's completely understandable. If that is against your values and you dislike that, completely understandable. I get that totally. I'm not telling you to set those values aside. And in fact, I'm not even telling you to approve of what she did. Or I'm not saying that. You make that call on your own. What I am telling you is simply this. You need to understand, how does a grainy black and white video in a darkened theater like that end up online? Pause for a minute and ask yourself, how do you even have access to that information? You have access to that information because some scumbag communist who had access to that videotape, which would have been taken in the dark in a theater, he clipped it and put it online. It was an op designed to lose a Republican seat in the House of Representatives by staining the reputation of one of the members of that of the House of Representatives. And if you talked with your friends about it, expressed outrage about it online, whether you like this or not, you participated in the op. They know how to use your values against you, and they do this all the time. And I'm not saying you have to approve of things you disapprove of. What I am saying is you should never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, participate in a communist op against your guy, against our own side. Or even if you say, well, I don't like her, or I don't like him, or whoever the op is being run against, it doesn't matter. You never participate in a communist op because you understand the communist at his core does not have your best interest at heart. He is against you. He is coming for you. He wants to destroy the things you like. everything he does is with that aim in mind. So because you understand that, you don't allow him to use your values against you, and you don't participate in the op. Don't participate in the op. Ever. Ever. All right? All right. Dear Community College standout, there's no doubt in my mind the government agency played a role in the trying to assassinate Trump, this guy says. While that is very concerning for all the obvious reasons, I can't make a lot of sense of why they've made it so obvious. If they wanted it to legitimately look like a lone gunman crackpot kid, they could have. They would have. Who benefits from the abundance of evidence suggesting the official narrative is a lie? Who benefits? Okay, thanks for all you do to inspire the next generation. Okay, so let's talk about this, actually. Who benefits? Why? Let's not even make it about this specifically. Why do they lie so brazenly now? Why do they lie so brazenly? Well, there are many different reasons for this. But one of the reasons we don't like to think about or talk about is power. Power likes to rub it in your face. Powerful people like to rub in your face that they are powerful and you are not. This is a very common thing, and it's so evil and wrong, but this is the way power has always worked. Remember, we used to talk about this during COVID, how you'd have some hag like Gretchen Whitmer shut down the state of Michigan, and then next thing you know, she's vacationing in Florida on the beach. You would have Deborah Birx get on television and tell you not to gather with family and friends for Thanksgiving. She goes right to a private jet and flies and gets with her entire extended family for Thanksgiving. Gavin Newsom tells you not to gather with friends and family at a restaurant, and that night he gathers at the French Laundry with like 25 people for dinner. How did they keep getting caught? They didn't get caught. They know it's the age of the cell phone camera. They know they can't scratch their nose in public without it being on the front page of a newspaper somewhere. They didn't get caught. They wanted you to know. The rules applied to you. Only you. Not them. They're the kings. They're the kings. We're, of course, the lowly peasants. They're the kings. They rule over us. And people who rule over you, they want you to know they rule over you. Why do these people lie to us about everything and the lies are so brazen and blatant? Well, that's part of how the king enjoys his power. Right? I know that hurts. And that's the kind of hurt Relief Factor can't even help you with, you see. Relief Factor can't help you with any of your emotional pain, but your physical pain, yes. You know that you're in pain because there's inflammation. Your body is attempting to fight it. But your body needs support. That's what Relief Factor is. Drug-free, natural support. When we're in pain, we do one of two things usually, and they're both awful for you. We try to take things to mask it, or we ignore it. Your life gets better when you get rid of that pain. Relief Factor, you take it every day. Let it build up in your system. In 3 weeks, your pain will either be gone or lower, or don't order anymore. Take it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks to have that pain in your hand gone. That neck pain gone. Back pain gone. 1-800, the number 4 relief. You're 3 weeks away from being free of it. 1-800, the number 4 relief. Or go to relieffactor.com. We still have a whole hour left. Let's talk a little bit about Dome, not doing press conferences. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.